It is so good to be with y'all today. And Kevin, what a blessing to hear your mama sing. I can remember the Christmas specials here, and they're coming to sing. That is a joy. That is a joy. I've been rested up for a week now in the mountains, so I'm really ready to go to work. But I've got a concern. In 2012, when I was called back up to pastor a church over in Johnston County, I met with several pastors throughout the 8 years. And then our group, after I retired last year, dwindled down to five that I met with on a regular basis. But it seemed like one topic was always in every meeting. Where are the people? Where are the people? Have you ever heard the term the great apostasy? If you know your Bible, you know it's mentioned in there. They're talking about the falling away from the church. Now, the average Christian thinks that it means the people out there are falling away from the church. Well, they've never been here to begin with. For the unbeliever, that is. The great apostasy involves members of the church that have quit coming for whatever reason and walked away from it forever. Gallup and Barna, the research groups, have done a 2021 update on church membership. Listen to this. 6 months into the pandemic, 22% of church members had not gone to church at all, whether it be digital, physical, or when they reopened. Now think about that and let it sink in. One of five churchgoers have simply stopped attending all forms of church in 2020. Compare that to 2019, where 100% of all church members had at least attended one time in 6 months. Now, I'm not going to tell you this is the beginning of the great apostasy. But you can't tell me that it's not either. Half of Americans are church members, down from 70% in 1999. You know, I grew up at Carolina Beach in the 50s. Yeah, I'm dating myself now. I went to school at Carolina Beach Elementary. Then I had to ride a bus to Sunset Park Junior High, then to New Hanover. There was only one bus leaving with high schoolers and middle schoolers back then. I knew everyone that went to church, but I also knew the ones that didn't. Now, you know the ones who do go to church and not the ones who don't. Most of the decline attributable to increase in percentage with no religion. And membership has fallen 9 points among those who are religious. Gallup continues, and I quote, Gallup finds the percentage of Americans who report belonging to a church, synagogue, or mosque at an all-time low, averaging 50% in 2018. U.S. membership was 70% or higher from 1937 through 1976. Fallen modestly to an average of 68% in the 70s through the 90s. The past 20 years have seen an acceleration in the drop-off, with a 20 percentage point decline since 1999, and more than half of that change occurring since the start of the current decade. But get this, young adults, that's ages 18 to 29, in the year 2011, 59% of them did not attend church. They had walked away from it. those that were raised in the church. And in 2019, those children who were raised in the church, 64% of them have left and never come back. I don't know about you, but when I watch David Jeremiah on TV, or Chuck Swindoll, or any of the other great preachers that I know preach the gospel, look at the church makeup. The church is graying. The church is graying. But guess the question that Ezekiel asked? Can these dry bones live? If you have your Bibles with you today, please turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. And if you are able, in honor of the reading and hearing of God's word, please stand. Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. I'm one of those preachers that preaches the full counsel of God. So many today ignore the Old Testament, saying, I'm a new covenant pastor. I didn't have any separation when God called me. Begin with verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews of the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word, and now grant us understanding. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, what great joy it is, Lord, to be gathered together with your people, your children, as we cry out to you, Abba, Father. Father, we know just from looking around that the church universal, and yes, even our church, is in trouble. Oh, Father God, help your people to be about the business that you have tasked us to. Help us always to be ready, Lord, to be a witness for thee, that others may hear the glorious message of salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. May our worship today, Lord, honor and glorify You. These things we pray in Your Son's most holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Oftentimes when pastors gather around and we think about Ezekiel and the Valley of Bones, we say that he was called to the deadest congregation any preacher has ever faced. Sometimes I wonder about that, though. You know, from my perspective, I'm not saying y'all, but I have seen, I have listened, and sometimes I have been in churches where you could hear a pin drop, even when the singing was going. But this congregation, it pictures something many believers face in their Christian experience, and that is the hopeless situation. Now, folks, at this time in history, both Israel and Judah were ruined politically. Assyria had scattered them, and Judah had been captured by Babylon. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted a return from captivity, but Ezekiel's vision goes even further down the years. He sees the time when the dead nation would come alive again. In the vision, he saw many bones in the open valley, and they were very dry. It was the picture of utter defeat when the bones of the armies drying and unburied. What a vivid description of the Jewish people at this time in history. But through the power of God's Word, the bones came together and formed men. Through the power of the Spirit, life was given to them. This pictures the future revival of the nation when the Jews will be brought up out of the graves of the Gentile nations where they've been scattered. Politically, this took place May 14, 1948. Some of you remember that year. When the modern nation of Israel entered into the family of nations again, the nation is dead, folks, spiritually. But one day when Christ returns, the nation will be born in a day and be saved. Friends, this scripture may not have any reference at all to the church, but it can be used to describe the serious problem that exists within the modern day church. Here one can see the only solution to our problems. And as we look at the vision of Ezekiel this morning, may you and I, may we learn and be blessed of the Lord. Just as we see the destructive force of sin in the vision of Isaiah, we see deterioration in our homes and churches. Why? Because of the neglect of God's truth. But guess the question. Where did children get their sense of value? That's a good question, isn't it? Especially today. Well, friends, when you give your child a dime for the offering plate and a dollar for Cokes, candy, ice cream, and etc., you're showing your sense of values to your child. When you insist that your child do their public school homework but complain if the church sends home some Bible reading and memory work, you are showing your sense of values to your child. When you stay home to putter around the house instead of going to Sunday school or church, you are showing your sense of values to your child. When you put sports and pleasure events ahead of your duties and responsibilities to the church, you are showing your sense of values to your child. When you allow your child to stay up late and watch TV or stay out late for a sports or pleasure event and have no concern in their attending youth meetings at the church, you are showing your sense of values to your child. And when you insist that your child go to public school but not to Sunday school, to church, you are showing your sense of values to your child. Can these dry bones live? Absolutely. And this morning, our scripture passage reveals five scenes in a valley filled with dry bones. The first scene is the pitiful condition. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me again. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very, very dry. Folks, God is concerned for the people, and He is concerned for you and me this morning. He has always and will always be concerned for the spiritual well-being of mankind, regardless of their disobedience and lack of trust. It was a shame that people would allow themselves to digress to such a pitiful spiritual state. Ezekiel sees the most tragic scene. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 32, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it will no more be called Tophet or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they will bury in Tophet until there is no room." And in Jeremiah 8, verse 2, New Living Testament, I love this passage here. "They will spread out their bones on the ground before the sun, moon, and stars. The gods my people have loved, served, and worshipped, their bones will not be gathered up again or buried, but will be scattered on the ground like manure." Ezekiel sees this in a vision. You and I, in actual experience. People, this was the most heartbreaking picture. A valley full of bones. When I served with 3rd Recon, 1968 and 1969 in Vietnam, we came in from a major operation. And in the rear area at Bravo Med, all I could see was coffins lined around that helicopter pad, 6 feet high. I can't imagine what Ezekiel saw. Perhaps the feeling that you have as you walk alone through a cemetery, reading the epitaphs on the tombstones, where there once had been life and activity, but now there was nothing. This is no more tragic a scene than what we see in many of our modern churches today. Ezekiel's heart bled for his people. Pastors that I know, their hearts break over the people, mine included. This was a nation. This was his people. Would it not stir his emotions? His heart bled. But perhaps no more than mine and yours as we look at our own churches full of dry bones. You know, I've been in this church long enough. I remember when every pew was packed. Started coming here when I came home from Vietnam, 1969, with Kathy. She's been a member here all her life. Some of you have been members here all your lives. I can see little Marty and his mom and dad and his brother sitting back here. I can see little Joe back there with Mr. and Mrs. Hutchinson and his brother sitting back there, or Paul and Aldine Rogers back there, or the Barron family, and so on and so on. I could just about tell you wherever they sit. Remember Mr. Pitter sitting in front of the Wheeler bench? Our churches function physically, that they are dead spiritually. Ezekiel desires to do something. I'm sure that Ezekiel wished and prayed that there was something that he could do for such a problem. Man is powerless within himself. He must wait upon the Lord and His power. And you know what? We too, we are powerless But here's the good news. If we allow God to work through us, we can see life in the valley. Which brings us to the second scene, the probing question. Look at verse 3. Can these bones live? Folks, this was a strange question concerning dry, whitened bones. Now, picture that. You're standing looking at a valley full of bones, and God asks you, can they live? Wow. You know, when Jesus said of the damsel in Luke 8, verse 52, she is dead. She is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn, didn't they? But here were not bodies newly dead, but bones bare, whitened bones. They were not even skeletons, for bone was separated from his bone. And yet God asked, can these bones live? Had he asked this question of the world, they would have laughed a louder laugh of scorn, I'm sure. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, New Living Testament, look now, I myself am he. There is no other God but me. I am the one who kills and gives life. I am the one who wounds and heals. No one can be rescued from my powerful hand. People, what benefit is a valley of dry bones? What benefit is there in a church filled with dry bones? To simply answer that, it's detrimental to the cause of Christ. Folks, as Ezekiel looked, he perhaps thought it was hopeless. It would be foolish to waste one time trying to do anything here. Perhaps he started to leave and God said, where are you going? But look at Ezekiel's response. Oh Lord God, you know. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, New Living Testament, many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting disgrace. What God basically said was, don't leave Ezekiel. You're going to do a work here. You know, friends, many times I have felt like leaving. Why in the world would a preacher spend 15 to 20 hours preparing a sermon to come to preach to a dead congregation? To people who really don't care. Oh yes, I know there are some. Don't get me wrong. Okay? It seemed that I was facing impossible odds. But guess what the Lord said? No. Stay right where you are. Christian, if you're contemplating leaving another church, you are to bloom right where you're at. If you're a member of this church, you were called to this church. No pastor, no member should ever leave this church unless they are called away by God Himself. And I don't know that God actually calls the members to move from one church to another. You know why? Whatever problems you're having here, you're just going to take them with you. Think about that. Can lifeless bones bring glory to God? Of course not. And that's the reason something needs to be done. God's people should be full of life. In fact, Scripture tells us that we are to do everything we do as unto the Lord. That means we're to be enthusiastically involved in the work of the Lord. Christians, your life and mine are to bring glory to God. Can the world around us be helped or blessed by a valley of dry bones? Well, the logical answer to that question is no. Folks, what can a dead, lifeless person do? Now, Before this could be reversed, something must be done to activate life. And let me tell you, people, there are dead bones of the church. There are those that are not faithful to pray. There are those that are not faithful to study. There are those not faithful in attendance. There are those not faithful to tithe and give offerings. And there are those not faithful to visit. Folks, these are all signs of spiritual deadness within the church or body of Christ. And when these things are lacking, can the world really be blessed by the church? Remember what I told you way back when I was a pastor here, about Rick Warren? Two reasons that an unbeliever doesn't come to Christ. First, he's never met a Christian. Second, they have. I've known some godly Christians. Fine, I've been shocked by some godly Christians who fell prey to sin in their lives and never, ever recovered. Maybe it was guilt. Maybe it was feelings of failure. Maybe it was the belief that they had dishonored the name of Christ and could therefore no longer live openly for Him. But whatever their reasons, they quit serving. Dropped completely out of sight. And unfortunately, many believe it will never happen to them. Oh? I'm going to take you back to 1982, ABC Evening News. During that time of news reporting, the news reported on an unusual work of modern art. A chair affixed to a shotgun. It was to be viewed by sitting in the chair and looking directly into the gun barrel. Now picture that. The gun was loaded, set on a timer to fire at an undetermined moment within the next 100 years. The amazing thing was that people waited in lines to sit and stare into the shell's path. Can you imagine? They all knew the gun could go off at point-blank range at any moment, but they were gambling that the fatal blast wouldn't happen during their minute in the chair. People, it was foolhardy. Yet many people who wouldn't dream of sitting in that chair live a lifetime gambling that they can get away with sin. Foolishly, they ignore the risk until the inevitable self-destruction. Let me tell you, friends, I believe that there is a valley of dry bones in the Christian life. It is a dry place. There is no joy there. How many of you know a professed Christian that just seems to, oh, me, oh, my. You know, never see a smile on their face. Everything's about them. Nothing happens to anybody else. Secondly, it's a dead place. There's no fruit there. You know, you and I are to be productive, are we not? We are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody we come in contact with. And three, it is a dangerous place. No Christian should stay there. Folks, this is the condition. And one might ask, what can we do? Is there any hope? Well, as we continue to look at our passage, let's see what God can do with and through us. Which brings us to the third scene, the power of God's Word. Look at verses 4 through 7a in these words. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Wow, how profound. Hear the word of the Lord. Folks, had the prophet walked by sight and not by faith, he would have staggered at the promise through unbelief. Had he been a worshiper of reason, he would have argued, these bones have no ears to hear. Why should I preach to them? Hear the word of the Lord. But he believed God rather than himself. You know, I oftentimes leave a service talking with my sweet wife. Say, honey, I preached my heart out. And there's not been an amen or a response or one tear shed. But she says, you don't know their heart. You don't know how God has spoken to it this morning. And she's right. But I do think that we don't have enough tears in the church. I do think that we don't have enough amens in the church. I do think that we don't have enough response to the word proclaimed. Ezekiel had been taught the exceeding greatness of his God's mighty power. Therefore he made, see what he said? So I prophesied as I was commanded. People, this scripture teaches you and I that the preaching of Jesus, the foolishness to the world, is to be the means of their awakening. And that prayer to the all-quickening Spirit is to be the means of their new life. It teaches that when these means are used with them, God's ancient people shall yet stand up and be an exceeding great army. They shall be as they used to be when they marched through the wilderness, when God went before them in a pillar of cloud. That they shall then be led back to their own land and planted in their own land and not plucked up anymore. But another, and to us a more important application of this vision, is to the unconverted souls in the midst of us. You know where revival begins? Anybody know where revival begins? Draw a circle around yourself. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is the formula for revival. The word of God quickens. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 12, for the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My dear friends, He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows every deed. Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Folks, Ezekiel did not know what to do. He's told to preach to a valley of bones. Perhaps he starts to leave and God asks, where are you going, Ezekiel? Well, to the library. Or to see the denominational leaders to find out what to preach. And God says, no, stay here. I will give you what to preach. Look at verses 4 through 6 of chapter 37. Again, He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. You know, the other Sunday I had the opportunity to preach a homecoming up in Zebulun, the Zebulun Wakefield Central Baptist Church. I knew about a month ahead of time, so I started preparing my message because I am retired. I didn't want to work 15, 20 straight hours, you know. I wanted to play a little golf. And, boy, I put a message together. I just thought it was just right. And one night, God said, that's not the one to preach. I changed my message that Sunday morning. God will give you what to preach if you're faithful in study and prayer. And He expects you to prepare. People, we must realize that the Word of God is never lacking in power. The bones must hear the Word of God. Ezekiel is the spokesman for God. And he instructs the bones to hear the Word of the Lord. Friends, we must realize that no matter who stands before us to teach or to preach, we are to listen to the thus saith the Lord. For the work to be accomplished, the congregation must be attentive and the spokesman must preach the word. Folks, in the average church, the reason for dried, bleached bones is that the congregation occupies themselves with other things. They turn a deaf ear to God's message. And then they want to blame the preacher if the church doesn't grow. I'm an Ephesians 4:11 preacher. You ought to go home and read that. My charge as a pastor is to pray and to study. It's your responsibility to carry out the work of the church. It just so happens, though, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I love to do the work of the church, too. Whether it be a recon team I was leading in Vietnam, I've always led from the front. We went on mission trips. I went with them. Of course, I knew all the good places to eat, too. Baptist men, we went and helped after hurricanes, rebuilding, tearing out and all. I can see Lee right now. Man, that guy knows how to work doing that stuff. Marty Carey does, too. People, the success of the church is dependent upon the whole church body. The bones must believe and accept the word. Ezekiel could only preach the word. You know, Paul stated this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. If you have one of my retirement cards, you'll see this verse. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Jeremiah 22, verse 29, New Living Testament states, O earth, listen to this message from the Lord. Folks, the results that followed was dependent upon the hearers. Too often people try to rechannel the message to someone else. We try to justify our own lives of what we do or don't do. And eventually there comes a time in people's lives when the Lord will no longer offer the healing power of His Word. You know what that's called? Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The only unpardonable sin. You know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. Which brings us to the fourth scene, the presence of the Lord. Look at verses 7b to 9 and the words. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking. Folks, when the Lord is allowed to move, there will be a noise and shaking. Ezekiel witnessed a wonderful thing. The word of the Lord was preached, and the Lord moved in the congregation on the bones as they heard the word. Friends, let me tell you, when people listen and allow God to move, there will be a response. There will be tears. There will be testimonies. There will be amens, and the list goes on and on. There will be eventual results of souls being saved, new members, baptisms, financial sufficiency, and so on. Did you notice the bones began to move together to form a skeleton with sinew, flesh, and skin? How often are a people outwardly reformed? Instead of Sabbath breaking, there is Sabbath of service. Instead of drunkenness, there is sobriety. The form of godliness, but none of the power. The bones and sinews of flesh and skin of godliness, but none of the living breath of godliness. People, this is the way with our congregations this day. An abundance of head knowledge. Oh, I can talk to a lot of people. They have a great deal of head knowledge about Scripture. But where is the humble heart that loves the Savior? There's an abundance of orthodoxy and argument. But where is the simple faith in the Lord Jesus and the love to all the saints? Does not the Savior say, when He looks down on our churches, there is no breath in them? You know, there's a passage of Scripture that talks about His coming. Will He find faith on the earth? That's a great question. Brothers and sisters, let's all give heed to the second command to the prophet. Look at verse 9. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. The Bible says in Psalm 104, verse 30, when you, that's God, give them your breath, life is created, and you renew the face of the earth. Perhaps Ezekiel could not believe his eyes. Can you imagine his joy as he witnessed the coming together? Folks, in churches, broken, shattered lives can be brought together. Homes and churches brought together. Even nations brought together. And let me tell you, we sorely need our nation to be brought together today. These are the things that can be accomplished and must be accomplished before the work of God can be done to its fullest. Which brings us to the fifth scene, the pleasant results. Verses 10 through 14. Folks, the Holy Spirit moved upon them. Ezekiel continued to preach, and the bones received life and power. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33, verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. Friends, to be a spiritual success, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. These bones stood up ready to move forward for God. And Ezekiel saw here the miraculous power of God working in the lives of believers. So we must stand. We must stand ready to do the will of God with changed lives, filled with the Spirit. An army able and ready to fight. God has mobilized a great army of believers to fight the good fight of faith for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. The Bible says in Revelation 11, verse 11, now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them. That's talking about the two witnesses. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. My friends, where do you stand in this picture? Have you been empowered by the Spirit of God? Are you actively involved in the work of the Lord? Are you striving to tell the good news of salvation through all that you meet? Or are you satisfied to let the preacher and a few others do the work that we all have been called to do? Friend, if you find yourself dead and dry in the service of the Lord, you can never be a benefit to the Lord until you allow Him to breathe upon you. Let the breath of God fill your spirit life and go and do the work of the Lord. Now, friends, the dry bones picture the whole house of Israel. Even though things seemed so hopeless to Ezekiel and to his contemporaries, God had their salvation in view. Friends, the dry bones also picture the lost. And yes, there are many of them, and they are dead in their sins. Perhaps you're one of them. If so, please know that Jesus can save you today, right where you are. Perhaps you're concerned for loved ones who are lost. You believe them to be hard cases, impossible to ever see them saved. Son of man, can these bones live? Absolutely. Friends, the dry bones also picture the dried up Christian. And I must admit, they picture me sometimes. Do they picture you? May God help us believers to be revived in our faith, to experience the joy of salvation once again, to see the dryness and the deadness when we are in the midst of it, that we might seek your, God's face, your forgiveness and your vitality once again. Revive us, O Lord, that we might serve thee.